With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
A couple of weeks ago here at RCR, we had Scott McIndoe on. Scott is Legacy's Fisheries Management and Alignment Specialist on fishing quotas, privatization of fishing stocks, and bureaucratic mismanagement of fisheries. And he was here back in mid-March to talk about those issues. And if you want to find out more about them, basically, he was pretty down on the quota management system. If you want to hear more about them, that interview is available from our replays page on the website or app. Just search for Scott McIndoe. To hear maybe the other side of the story, we have invited Herbert, who owns and operates Sea Urchin New Zealand Limited out of Whitianga, family-owned and operated company based in Whitianga. Started out with a boat, some dive gear, and a passion for free diving in 92. And since then, kids and grandkids have come on board and helped to expand the business to what it is today. Herb, thanks for coming on RCR.
Oh, thank you, Paul. It's great to have a chance to reply to some of the comments that Scott McIndoe was presented. But first up, I know Scott. I've had quite a bit to dealing with him. He's been to my factory. He's seen how we operate, and he's quite comfortable with what we do. Where we differ is the interpretation of what we personally think about the quota management system.
Right.
Now, yeah. I have no problem with his vision, and I think everyone in the fishing game has the same vision. When I talk about everyone, I mean the commercial, the recreational, the customary, and dare I say it, poachers all want the same thing, which is more fish in the ocean.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with that particular point. Now, what we have to do here, Paul, is go back to the start, about 1984, I think it was, mm-hmm. and Scott alluded to this in his interview where he said the quota management system evolved. Now, the government at the time was well aware that the extraction of the fish currently taking place was not going to last, and it was going to, the whole thing was going to collapse and there'd be nothing for anyone. So I take my hat off to the government for standing up and saying, let's do something about this. So we developed or came up with the idea of what we call a quota management system. The overarching idea of the quota management system is to contain or curtail or to regulate the amount of fish that came out each year. That was the overarching idea of it. This was the principle, the overarching principle of the quota management system. Myself, I really do like the system, and I have embraced it with my family over the last 30 years. Now, if we look at what the aim of the quota management system was in those days, it was to put the responsibility of the extraction with those that did it.
Right.
And if we're talking about the commercial, the best system that they could come up with at the time was to do, like Scott says, just to have the ITQ, individual transferable quotas.
Mm.
Now, that gave the fishermen who were doing the extraction some sort of responsibility and some sort of reason to actually take responsibility for what they were doing. That was the whole idea. This started out as really good, and I must admit it was a bit flawed in the first initial allocation in 1986 because they just took the catch history from 84, 85, and there were people who were smart enough to abuse that system and to get quite high allocations. Yes, I do accept that there was something. This was certainly corrected in 2003 and 2004 in the next round of allocations. The quota management system then developed, and we have a lot of sort of tools, I suppose you could call it, in the toolbox to be able to correct issues that are happening in the system. And this is where I think, Scott, we don't quite seem to agree a little bit. in the fact that the quota management system is the overarching principle, and within that, or underneath that, there is a lot of correction factors, because every year each species can be inspected, can be reviewed, and can be changed by the simple adjustment of a figure called a quota weight equivalent, but we won't get too much about that. So it can be adjusted by the ministry. So any of a species that has been alerted to as having a problem can be addressed pretty quickly into the next season. So there are tools there to do that. Within those tools is also extraction methods. And I'm not going to talk about too much about the whether or not bottom trawling is good or bad, or stainless fishing and everything else like that. I do have a view on that, but what we're discussing here is the overarching principle of the quota management system. I feel that the that we're doing very well with this system. We have got tools in place to correct things. And of course, bag limits, seasons, size limits, closures if the fishery is in the ship, for example, has a problem. For example, the Kaikoura Power that just happened recently with the earthquake. The minister shut that fishery down the next day. So there are tools in the toolbox for the minister or for the ministry to help with the fishing extraction and how much actually comes out and how much it does come in.
I was just thinking, though, Scott, he said a few things. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, New Zealand's fisheries management system is basically corrupt, is what he said. So corrupt's quite a strong word. And he said impacting small-scale fishers who earn as little as $3.50 per kilo, while retail prices up around $60. Are you an inshore fisher?
Definitely. I fish for shellfish. I fish for kinner and power are my main species that I fish for. Now, you have to be careful here, Paul, because he's quoting $3 a kilo green weight, and he's quoting $50 a kilo for fillets. It's not the same item.
Well, what's the differential then, just so we understand? I mean, what percentage of weight is missing by the time it gets onto the retail shelf?
A third of your green weight, or a third of the weight of your fish, is usually discarded when it's filleted out and sold as a fillet. So if you have a 30 kilos of snapper, you ideally get 10 kilos of fillet, which is available for there. So if you look back to that, that's $15 a kilo green is what it's selling for. Sorry, you'd have to work that out. We're going to say $20 kilo or $18 kilo is the actual weight that's been sold, not $50. So $3, you can see there that there is quite a difference in those sort of figures. Now, in terms of the little fellas being squeezed out, what we need to look at is what the quota management set up to do and how it kind of fell to bits a little bit. It wasn't sort of thought about the flood of sales of a property right that came off for whatever reason, split up with the wife, it had a mortgage, I'd had enough fishing, I wanted to get out. Now, when this property right came up for sale, Paul Brennan could have bought it, I could have bought it, Joe Blow could have bought it. Anyone could have gone and bought what they had for sale. It just so happens that these big companies saw a chance here to get a monopoly or to get a lion's share of a particular fishery, and they got their checkbook out. Now,
so that's commerce as far as you're concerned. That's how it works.
Yes, that's how it works, and that's what anyone can possibly do. Anyone could have done that. Now, on the other hand, if you take what I've done, I embraced the quota management system from 1988 is when I first got in, and I was doing the power. In those days, early days, so I've been in at my registered number is 888 0824, so which means that the first two digits of 1988, those are the years that I got in. So I've been in for quite some time, the system. And I embraced the system, and then I saw an opening with the Kinner, and there was no quota management, and there was no, sorry, quota ITQ for Kinner at the time. I did not get 1 kilo of any issue through power, Kinner, or anything in my name. I embraced the quota management system and got my checkbook out. And I bought every single kilo that's in our family name because I had faith in the quota management system. Now, to have faith in the quota management system, it means I have to know that each year for the next however as long as I want, just like property, if you own freehold property, you're going to own it forever. I'd like to know that until I'm finished with it, I can utilize the use of it, and I'm quite happy to keep investing in it. I'm at the coalface. I know what the fishery's doing. I know if it's in trouble. I know I can cover my bases or take my punt if I buy more quota through the system. And I embraced that, and I felt that my business grew on that. And so I did basically what Scott was saying, you know, the corruption or whatever. I went and bought all the quota in this area for Kinner. Now, I bought all of that. I bought it off the people who wanted to sell it. I bought it off any time there was a tender, and that took me 25 years.
Right.
So I got to a stage now where I'm in charge of my particular fishery here, and it's really good to manage. With that in mind, I've just built a brand new factory, and I employ 30 staff in the factory. I employ 8 divers. I have 3 dive teams at various places in New Zealand, Bluff down there. My son's down there working in his operation there. I've got another guy, Tim Barnett. He's working out of Picton. I've got another guy doing powers for me out of Tora and the Wairapa, Dean Wilkinson. And I've got my main team up here who's my skipper, is running the show here. His name's Callum. Overarching all this is my youngest son. He runs the show. He's the boss. He tells people where to go, when, how, what he needs it. And he coordinates everything. So he's basically the CEO. And I'm sort of trying to step back and let those guys run with this machine. I've sort of set it all up and got it all going. But I do get fairly tiffed when people put down the quota management system, and someone needs to speak up for it. Someone needs to add to it and say, there are some good things about it. With Scott's interview, he didn't present an alternative. He kept going on about rescue fish and this. Now, I went and had a look at that site, and it said nothing
rescue
about
rescue fish Ika Raora. Yeah.
Yep, that one. I went and had a look at that one, and it just came up on the thing of fishing is bad, the system's no good, join us, people get your signature and do all this. But there was, I couldn't find easily, maybe it's there somewhere, an alternative, and this is where we really need to put forward someone who's actually embraced it and done all right at it, their view, and this is my view coming through now.
Yeah, it's interesting what you just explained there with the way that your activities are spread over the country, because here was I imagining Whitianga. I know Whitianga, and you're probably just around the area there, but you can buy a quota for anywhere, right? So
yeah, anyone can. You can, Paul. You, any person can go and buy a quota, just like anyone can go and buy a piece of land anywhere in New Zealand that is freehold title. I quite often equate quota management system to farming and the ownership and the ITQ. You know, if you own the quota, you can do whatever you want with it. You can not catch it. You can catch it yourself. Or you can have various ways of having it caught. Someone could catch it for you. You can demand that it goes to someone in particular that does catch it. You negotiate the price that you do, very much like shear milking.
Yeah.
And it works. It's working very well.
He also said the lack of effective competition in the fishing industry is a hindrance to innovation, alluding to the quota management system sort of contributing to that lack of competition. So okay. Hindrance to innovation and value creation, perpetuating a feudal system and managing New Zealand's common property resource. Is it like that?
Okay. There is what they call a quota cap. In other words, accumulation limits. We need to have a look at Scott's comments about Sanford's and Moana.
Yep.
Sanford's is a deep water fishery based entity. Moana is an inshore one.
Right.
Now, they haven't sold the land. They have merely leased it out for 10 years because Moana is a lot more efficient at operating the inshore fishery. Moana is not a specialist in the deep sea. They're also not a specialist in kina diving. So they've basically left that to me. I've developed my own fishery.
You've cornered that one, Herb.
Well, I tried about 25 years ago. I set myself a target and I thought I'd do it in 5 years, but it took me 15. But I utilized the system that was in place called the quota management system to be able to do that all. And now that I'm able to do that, my operation is economic because you can't be a kina diver and make any money if that's all you do with, say, 20 ton. It's just not enough money in it.
Yeah.
So you have to have something like 200 or 200 ton going through a factory and coordinating all of that to make it work. Now, I knew that 20 years ago, and I aimed to do that. And now we're there with the help of my family and with the help of the quota management system and the faith in it. And the banks accept that as well because, believe me, I mean, it's the bank's money I'm spending. It ain't mine.
Yeah, they got to be happy.
Yeah. They've got to keep going in.
So this system then, will it stand the test of time? Is this something that will stay in place, do you think, or should stay in place for, well, I guess you would say as long as it's working, but do you see it changing any time?
I do not see it changing any time because, well, it's the same as saying to someone who saved all their life to buy their family home, oh, I'm going to take it away from you now. You know, it's a property right that was given. Now, sure, there are a few differences. There is the fact that there are other users in the common ground, and I appreciate that. And we respect that immensely from our point of view. And it should be pointed out that the commercial is very regulated and they know exactly what's been extracted. And a good friend of mine told me, he said, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it.
Right.
And that's my message to the recreationals. And I know I've said exactly that to Scott. You can't measure it. You can't manage it. So the recreationals need to take some responsibility.
Where do they fit into this? Because I think Scott was saying that's a shrinking space as well.
I find that amazing because if you look at the snapper one, which is what he referred to, the cockroaches of the ocean, which I thought was a colourful explanation. But let's put that aside. So if we go back, say, 20 years or so, there was 4,500 tonne of snapper one being taken out. I'll use that as an example because everyone uses it. It was being taken out of the ocean by the commercial. There was about 2,000, maybe 2,500 taken out by recreationals. Now, if you go and have a look what the stats are today, you will see some people are saying that it's almost double the commercial recreational take. We don't know, Paul. We don't know exactly what it is, whereas we do have a handle on what the commercial's doing very accurately. So the minister's got a bit of a problem here trying to manage the fishery when he hasn't got all the measurements. The answer to that, I'm a firm believer, is licensing. Recreational licensing to give us a heads up on what is actually being taken.
Would that apply to everyone who wants to fish?
Well, I would say so, yeah. Well, look, if you're going to go and catch trout, which is an introduced species, I might add, you need a license. you know, to do that. And that money goes into the Game Fishing Council, and they make up hatcheries and they...
But what if I want to catch fish? Like, I used to live in Auckland down by the Harbour Bridge there. Yep. Every night they're all lined up catching fish. You can tell that some of the families there probably use it to supplement the groceries. You don't want people jumping through too many hoops.
No, you don't. But every other country is the same, Paul. I mean, like Australia, you got to have a license. It's not an expensive item. And maybe this needs a lot of fine tuning and a lot of discussing with Legacy. I agree on how
much. You could attach it to driver's licenses, couldn't you?
Yeah, well.
Just tick a box. I'll have that too, please.
No. You want someone who's dedicated going to go fishing, and there needs to be some sort of incentive to report on what's actually coming back so we can get an idea of how things are going. That's sort of my view anyway on the question. Look, I'm in the New Zealand spearfishing team, have been there for 30 years, and I'm an avid sports spearo. I've just run the Indo-Pacific spearfishing competition here out of my own property. That's Tahiti, New Caledonia, Australia, New Zealand, four teams, big competition. I've been involved in that for 30-odd years as well. So I'm all over, let's record what we take so the minister can have a handle on what the allocation is. Just remember, the overarching allocation is the total allowable catch. Within that, there are customary, recreational, and commercial, and he has to allocate whatever he says. He's done 100 of the ziffle fish or whatever, he's got to allocate out so much to each one of those. And if he hasn't got the information, he's finding it sort of difficult. Now, can I give the example, using a bit of statistics here, that Scott didn't present, is that let's look at kingfish, for example. The recreational allocation for kingfish in this area here, the northern Fisheries Management 1, which is basically where the Kingfish Green Court. The recreational allocation is 442 ton. That's what the minister thinks is going to come out. Mm. Now, the commercial come out is 91 ton, which is out. So the kingfish itself is basically being given to the recreationals, and it was presented to the commercial guys because they couldn't avoid catching it when they're fishing and their fishing methods.
Yep.
And so they needed something to not get fined for having caught kingfish in Kingfish 1. And the other statistic which Scott brought up was this 3-5% of the fishery is for recreational. Now, in the start of his interview, he talked about, now let's just talk about the deep water. Well, when he used that statistic, Paul, he included the deep water fisheries. So it wasn't fair that he used one example to start with, which was inshore only, and then he encompassed the whole lot. Of course, there's hoki and orange roughy and all the deep water species that are there, but what recreational take is there for that? And I looked it up. It's zero. Orange roughy, recreational allocation, zero. Hoki, recreational allocation, zero, compared to the big picture. So, of course, the figures are going to skew round like that. But you take on kingfish, you take on the crayfish allocation for the recreationals, you take on the gurnet and the John Dory and all those ones there, what's their allocation, you'll find that the recreationals get a fair whack of what's available, but it's not measured.
And they're not out in the deep water either, are they?
No, they don't go out and catch orange roughy and hoki and all those deep water fish. There's no recreationals out there. But he's used that volume to put his argument forward that 5% of the fishery is only available for the recreationals, which is a bit of a twist, Scott.
All right, I think we get the gist. Herb Herbert from Sea Urchin NZ. Thanks for coming on, Herb. That was really interesting.
That's good, Paul. That's good. And I hope that all the listeners in that can sort of see that there's always two sides of the story.
Yeah, both sides of the story. Exactly.
And that you make up your own mind when you've got a good amount of information there to decide what you want to think. That's my message.
All the best. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Paul. Bye.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.